This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Well, this weekend, three major music events will descend on Chicago. My colleague Courtney Kippers reports security is among the fastest rising expense for event organizers. And that's top of mind this weekend for the teams behind Sueños, Forever Mine, and Warm Love, Cool Dreams. Here's Brent Heil, who programmed the Salt Shed's Warm Love, Cool Dreams.
We pride ourselves on creating a safe environment. Like, we hang our hat on it. And yeah, the costs are real, but it's not really a negotiable.
This weekend's festivals will happen within a 4-mile radius on Saturday and Sunday. Charges against the four remaining members of the Broadview Six will be permanently dropped. The Sun-Times reports U.S. Attorney Andro Boutros made that announcement just a few hours after a closed-door hearing today. This puts an end to one of the most contentious cases brought during Operation Midway Blitz. It began as a conspiracy case against six people who had protested outside the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in suburban Broadview. The Republican candidate for Illinois governor has apologized to the Chicago City Council. During his previous run for governor, Darren Bailey repeatedly called Chicago a hellhole.
What I meant was that the political class is failing us, and I should have been more clear, and I wasn't, so I apologize.
Bailey is a farmer and a former state lawmaker from downstate Xenia. He says he now lives in Chicago.
The only way to get what's in my heart to this city is to be present, to be active, and informed. So here I am.
Governor J.B. Pritzker's campaign responded by asking Bailey to apologize for a list of other things, including his support for legislation to kick Chicago out of the state and promising to roll out the red carpet for President Trump. And the Chicago Sky are looking for answers after losing their leading scorer, Rekia Jackson, for the season. Her absence was felt during Wednesday night's loss to the Dallas Wings. It was the Sky's home opener. Guard Natasha Cloud took on the enhanced role in the Sky's first full game without Jackson. Head coach Tyler Marsh says Cloud sets a tone for the rest of the team through her style of play.
She certainly sets an example because that's who she's been as a player her entire career, but I think it's also part of why she's been such a seamless fit here, because we have a team full of players that are willing to put their bodies on the line for it.
The Sky will host the Minnesota Lynx on Saturday. You're listening to The Rundown. Illinois passed a law last year requiring public colleges and universities to establish protocols for what to do if immigration agents come on campus. It came in the aftermath of Operation Midway Blitz as Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents descended on some local campuses in the fall. But a report from WBEZ and the Sun-Times finds many Illinois schools still do not have these protocols in place. Sun-Times reporter Mary Norkel spoke about it with my colleague Melba Lara.
So talk to us about this law. What exactly do universities need to do to be in compliance?
Yeah, so the law is pretty broad, and it covers all sorts of immigration requirements, but we really focused on some core requirements around what procedures they have to have in place internally and some things that they have to make publicly available. So those four requirements that we focused on in our review was, one, they need to identify a person, a team, a department to handle these reports of ICE or CBP or other federal agents coming on campus for immigration purposes, and that person can confer with lawyers. That's the first requirement. The second is they need to display a contact on their websites for people to call or email to report seeing agents on campus. Then they are also required to establish a process for documenting all interactions with federal immigration agents on campus. And lastly, they have to have procedures for notifying students and staff if an immigration agent is looking for them or trying to seek information about them.
Those requirements seem pretty straightforward, and you looked into many of the public colleges and universities in Illinois to see how they're handling this law. What did you find?
Yes. So we looked at 24 community colleges and public universities, 12 of each, and we found that the majority of them had at least one of those core four requirements that they were missing or didn't fully follow according to the language of the law. There were only six out of those 24 that hit all four requirements, and it was fairly interesting to see those numbers.
And you talked to some of the schools that are not in compliance, too. Have they given any explanation as to why they aren't?
Yes. So some of the schools came back to us and gave where they thought that they followed the law. The thing is, the law is quite specific and the language is quite specific. So, for example, we had some schools that came and said, OK, we will notify a student if the immigration agents have a warrant, and then the students will be notified. But the law is broader than that. It is meant to document any interaction with these immigration agents on campus, and it's meant to notify the students and staff if there's any reason that the immigration agents are looking for them. And another example was some schools said, well, we have the phone number listed on our website, and it's under undocumented student liaison, and it's pretty unclear that that is who you're supposed to call if agents are on campus.
And for this investigation, you also talked to students. How did the students at these schools feel about it?
The students, the overarching kind of through line in a lot of my interviews were that it is a beneficial law, but it can only go so far if the schools don't actually meet the requirements laid out in the law. And there were also plenty of concerns that there's not enough communication and public notice of this law being in place. I spoke to students who were very active in immigration advocacy. Some were immigrant students themselves, and they didn't even know about the law or their school's new procedures that went into effect in January.
Mary, thanks for sharing your reporting with us.
Thanks so much.
That's Sun-Times reporter Mary Norkel. You can learn more at suntimes.com.
Weather: sunny and cool today with a high near 60, cloudy tonight, a low near 50, and then Friday, cloudy, a chance of rain in the afternoon, high in the low 60s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.